Arsenal 4, Portsmouth 1. A pretty comfortable victory in the end for Arsenal in the FA Cup. Gabriel Martinelli, what a time for him to score his first ever career hat-trick for Arsenal. So a fantastic result in the end. Let's get into it all. This is the Real Arsenal Deal podcast. Hello and welcome back to The Real Arsenal Deal. Rav here, as always, your host. How is everyone today? Thank you so much, wherever you are in the world, for tuning in. So, Arsenal have comfortably defeated in the end Portsmouth 4-1. It wasn't the greatest start. Portsmouth scored out of nowhere, really. These matches are sometimes so difficult to talk about and assess because there's been 10 changes to the lineup, as we all expected. A heavy rotation was expected for this match, for the cup matches. And in fact, it probably would have been 11 changes. Gabriel was the only one who started against Liverpool a few days ago and started here more so out of no other option, really, because Hincapié is out with a hamstring injury. Calafiori is still absent. Mosquera is continuing his recovery. So just by sheer numbers, I mean, one of the senior centre-halves had to play. It was either going to be Saliba or Gabriel, and in this occasion, it's Gabriel. So on another day, it would have been full rotation, 11 changes. So it's hard to be too critical. It's hard to be too analytical as well, because as much as we know that Arsenal have a very deep squad, tremendous depth all over the place. I mean, like, what a blessing for us that in terms of heavy rotation, we're talking the likes of Ben White to come in, to step in. Wanyeri is great to see him get a start. Mikel Merino, a seasoned Spanish international, and the likes of Jesus, Martinelli, Madueke up front, all internationals in their own right as well, all established first team footballers. So it's a real blessing for Arsenal to have this squad. But then when all of a sudden you throw them in together, you sort of cobble together a lineup based on who's available at any given point in time, can't be too critical. You can't be too, I guess, can't read too much into it at times. I know there's going to be questions asked about certain game states and especially the opening few minutes. For me, though, I'm quite relaxed about it all. I mean, there's only so much you can really expect to be able to do and prepare on the training pitch. And like I've always said, nothing really prepares you for match simulation until a match itself. So I think that goes a long way to explaining just a disjointed and odd opening few minutes from Arsenal. And also must be said, it was, you know, pretty awful conditions as well, quite rainy, quite wet. And I know it's the same for both clubs, so I'm not trying to use that as any kind of excuse. It is nice to see Portsmouth as well. I remember them obviously from the early 2000s, and I know they had a lot of financial troubles since. I've got nothing against Portsmouth. I've got nothing against many of these clubs. I have a bit of an affinity with Portsmouth because a gentleman who I used to work with in my senior banking career, he was a big Portsmouth fan. So going to big meetings or whatnot when we're traveling together in the car, he was always talking, telling me about the local town, telling me about just, you know, his family lineage, how he got into Portsmouth. So from that point of view, I've always had a bit of a fondness for them. It's nice to see them, climbing their way back up. But of course, it's also nice to see them come and go. And we did the job. We got the job done against them in the end. So 4-1, look, it probably should have been more. A few talking points I want to get to. I want to get to that Madueke penalty miss. It wasn't great. I've got to be honest, it wasn't great. But I'll talk more about lineup performances first before we get to a few talking points, because the major thing to really discuss here is Gabriel Martinelli. He's had a difficult few days, as I'm sure everyone is aware. When I recorded my post-match instant reaction after the Liverpool game, it was literally, as I said at the time, just a few minutes after the final whistle. So much of the post-match coverage and whatnot that firstly, I don't really tune into that much stuff anyway, because I just know how skewed some of the narratives are, especially when it comes to Arsenal. It's just very one-dimensional commentary, I find. So it doesn't really do much for me anyway. But as I said on the recording at the time, I didn't like that incident. I didn't like that moment with Bradley pushing him off the field. And look, I just think it was just a moment of madness, a moment of ignorance as well, a silly look. And, quite rightly, it got caught out for what it was. However, way how sensational some of the sensationalist element to and the reactionary element to how things are discussed. And it's pretty rubbish at the end of the day. So some, I think you know what I'm referring to. Some of the headlines that are generated is some of the vitriol and whatnot, that stuff, that line from Neville saying that someone should come out and whack him and get a red card. I mean, it's just beyond the realms of sensibility and responsibility. It's pretty ridiculous, to be honest. It's stupidity to say that. I mean, who in their right mind can justify saying such a thing? And it's just a really bizarre nature, like the fallout, the subplot that's come from it. He's had a difficult few days, and for me, as much as I didn't like the moment, like, I can compartmentalize that. You don't have to go in two-footed on someone. You don't have to go so hard and question someone's character and call them, label them with all sorts of names, or you just don't need it. Maybe it just speaks to the nature of the world we live in right now. Everyone is just so judgmental. So when I say everyone, I don't mean literally everyone. I mean there's such a judgmental element, a reactionary element, that people want to yell and shout and say things online that they will never say to someone face to face. Like, you would never call someone these things, these names, if you pass them down the street or in a shopping center. And it's just not okay. It's not acceptable. And so that was a long-winded way to say that it was a poor moment for Martinelli. I'm sure he has regrets. I know he's apologized afterwards, and had he had that time again, he wouldn't make the same choice. And for me, that's kind of where it starts and ends. We're all human at the end of the day. We all make mistakes. But fast forward a couple of days, he gets a start here, and just fantastic to see him respond in that manner, respond on the pitch. Like, he does his talking that way. He's always been a fairly quiet, humble style of character anyway, Martinelli. I don't really associate him with that streak or that violent nature that he's otherwise been labeled with. It was just a moment of frustration in the heat of the battle. And it is what it is. But look, you know, I think I've said enough about that topic. Let's get back to this particular game. So he scored three goals. He should have had a fourth as well. He would be kicking himself. There was a fantastic passage of play and a lovely cross from Ben White, who, again, He doesn't have an assist to his name to show for it, but I certainly remember it. I stood up and took note. It was a fantastic passage. And Martinelli, he's done everything right. He's positioned himself well, got to the back post. I know the ball's bouncing, bobbling, but you know that this is football. You got to anticipate that. He's just managed to did he hit the heel of his foot or the bottom of his foot maybe? And it's just, you know, trickled into the post and come back. Unfortunate for him. Because, there were more goals out there. So 4-1 in the end, like I said, it should have been more. Should I talk about the Madueke moment as well? I guess I may as well talk about it now, because I am talking about missed opportunities. Madueke, again, has done everything right. He's had an excellent game. Gets in behind the fullback. I love his attacking intent. He gets the ball. Very direct footballer as well. I like that each of the players, they all have their own strengths and characteristics. And one of Madueke's that I've noticed from the very get-go is that he gets the ball and he just looks up. He wants to attack. He wants to dribble. He backs himself to go around or in and behind the fullback. And I think that's a real attribute of his. It's a real strength to have up our sleeve, whether he starts or whether we can, depending on the game state, call upon him from the bench. He's done everything all right and he's won the penalty. And it was interesting when the penalty was caught. I was wondering who they're going to give this to, because Saka's not on the pitch, Odegaard's not on the pitch, Gyökeres not on the pitch. They're usually the three, in no particular order, they're usually our three most prominent penalty takers. Not that we get many to begin with, right? But usually when we do, it's one of those three. So I think they've given it to Madueke off the back of, look, he hasn't scored a goal for Arsenal yet. And this is a nice, I guess, easier way just to get on the score sheet and just get over that hurdle, score your first goal, and just get that out of the way. It wasn't a good take. That stuttering goal, run up, it doesn't really do it for me at the best of times. I wonder what the statistics would be, the conversion rate of those sort of stuttering lineups. I would argue that it wouldn't be as high as just a natural run up and just whack the ball into whatever side you choose from. So it went out, goal kick, nothing came of it. And it was a bit of a shame, because there was a goal there for him. So a couple of other performances I want to highlight as well. Look, I thought White was very, very good in this game. As I've already mentioned, he's got 70 minutes under his belt. He came off with a triple sub. Kai Havertz back to get 20, 25 minutes under his belt as well was fantastic. Very interesting comments from Arteta post-match. I mean, you can read read into them what you will, but I'm just paraphrasing here. He was saying that how closely he was watching Kai, his movement, his awareness of where the ball is going to go and where he needs to be to position himself. I think that's you know, if you read between the lines, when he says we missed him, we missed that big time, I think we all know what he's referring to. It's not to be critical of Gyökeres, but what it's to say is that Havertz really links up. Him as the centre forward, he ticks on a number of boxes, right? Like this, his relationships with others, knowing where to be. It's a real strength to have him back. And what I'm hoping is that we manage his load, manage him back, because I'm looking at that run in. I'm looking at, say, from the, say, even from when Champions League knockout stages come, he's the type of footballer we need in those really, really big matches. It's not to say there's no minutes for Jesus or Gyökeres, not at all. There's so much football to play. 3 games a week, multiple competitions, right? You're going to need everyone. However, just to even have the likes of Gyökeres or Jesus on the bench to come in and relieve Kai, this is fantastic. The club hasn't had this. We haven't had this array of options for a long, long time across the squad. Norgaard, again, as a centre-back, I mean, he just strikes me as one of those teammates who just does whatever the team needs. Like, he'll just put his hand up whenever the manager asks of him, whatever he needs to do to play some minutes, he'll just step up and do it with just minimal fuss. So yes, he's not a natural centre-half. I know he's played there some years ago in his time at Brentford, and I don't think he was brought into Arsenal with that role in mind. However, he was fine. He did what we needed him to do. And what I liked is that ahead of him was Marino. So Mikel Marino, I don't recall him playing as a 6 for Arsenal. Please someone correct me if I'm wrong. I don't recall him doing that as yet, but what it meant was we didn't have to throw in Saliba as well. We didn't have to start one of Rice and Zubimendi. To me, that was the bigger picture. That was more important, to sit them completely out. In fact, Saliba didn't even make the matchday squad. Same with Trossard. So they were completely off the table. That was great to see. We had Gyökeres, Zubimendi and Rice, Saka on the bench as unutilized substitutes. This is excellent. This is exactly what we've been wanting to be able to do, to progress through the matches like this, to navigate them through, still come out comfortable victors, but not needing your key starters, because we've got, as I continually say, as everyone knows, January and February is just, the schedule is just bonkers. We're back in action in 3 days' time against Chelsea in the League Cup semi-final. And I've got a few worries about that. You saw how much they were up for it, and they tried to basically kick Arsenal off the park, and now they get to do it over 2 legs. So we've got the capacity, the space for minutes for a host of players, and it's great to sit out a number of them completely from this match and still go through. Ethan Nwaneri, I thought, looked very sharp. Again, similar to Matt Awake, he has that directness about it, that attacking instincts. He looked fine to me. Nice dynamic on that right-hand side with White, Madueke, Nwaneri. Across the left, I think Eze, he's just that type of player that I don't think it's a criticism to say that he drifts through matches. There are times when you don't often notice him at times, but he's there, he's getting into positions, but he's just not as high touch of a footballer as, say, Odegaard is when he's playing that in that midfield role. In fact, did Eze take a shot on goal? He did, actually. He did. That was quite late on. Like one of the strengths of Eze, and I really saw it on display, I took notice against Newcastle many months ago in the season, how many shots he takes at the front of the box in that central area. And he took one today, but that was quite late in the match. So look, otherwise he was fine, played the full match. He needs the minutes too, because there's going to be plenty to share with him. Jesus, it didn't quite come off for him today. Him and Martinelli have an excellent relationship. Obviously, they have a lot of history together at Arsenal and for Brazil, of course. That they were otherwise fine. Madueke, I've mentioned. So I guess the only overall thing I can say, all things being equal, is that it was just job done with pretty minimal fuss. And yeah, we've come out of this with no new injuries. We've got players back into the framework, such as Havertz. So in that regard, it's a big tick for me. I haven't mentioned this as yet, but look, the opening goal, I think when they would look back on it too, not only was there a bit too much space for Portsmouth to operate in, but Kepa, I think he's going to be disappointed in himself, because that shot, he really should tuck away to the side. I mean, sometimes it's these little 1% differences between a good goalkeeper, which Kepa certainly is, and a great elite goalkeeper, such as Raya, because you don't want to just block that ball and goes back into the danger area, into that red zone, that hot spot, because it's there for a tap in, and that's essentially what happened here. Is that the difference is that if you can't catch the ball, just tip it over the side, over the crossbar, or just let it go out for a corner. And I think that was the regret here from an Arsenal point of view and from Kepa's point of view, that he really should have palmed that ball away just to knock it out for a corner. Speaking of corners, it was great to score off two of them, and it wasn't who you thought. I mean, Gabriel was on the pitch and he was looming large, and geez, they were all over him, weren't they? I know there's no VAR on this one, but a couple of times, there's arms all around Gabriel. His shirt's been clearly visibly tugged and pulled back. If he'd gone down and they go to a replay, it looks pretty clear-cut to me. But Martinelli's got two very smart headers. What I want to highlight as well is the quality of the corners from Madueke. I've really noticed that set-piece delivery from him is improving lately, and that's fantastic. He just puts it right in that danger area. Martinelli's taken them well. So that was his first and third goal, I believe. That's right. Our first came from a bit of a mad scramble from a corner again, but it's an own goal. They've tried to boot the ball away. Unlucky that it's gone from one defender into the calf of another and just gone in. Not much they could do about that. Martinelli's second was beautifully done as well. Like, fantastic pass from Jesus. Fantastic cross. Martinelli in the right spot. And this time he connected, drifting towards that middle back post area. All round, you know, I think it's just a really important moment for Gabriel Martinelli to really, you know, to answer in the face of some heavy criticism the last few days. And what was also quite refreshing for me, I don't know if this resonates with anyone else, but for me watching this match, it was just quite nice for just to have the temperature dialed down. I mean, there's such an intensity, such an anxiety, such a pressure cooker watching Arsenal in the Premier League at the moment, because we all know what is at stake. We all want this Premier League. I feel it. It is so palpable watching. I'm on edge sometimes, and that probably came out in the way I assessed and spoke about that Liverpool match, my frustration and my disappointment that there was an opportunity there that was largely squandered to go 8 points ahead. But overall, we're still in a fantastic position in the Premier League. We're in a position of real strength. And the others have to chase us, and we've got players returning back into the fold. So it's just nice to have the temperature dialed down a little bit. You know, that there's an up and down nature to a cup match anyway. It's a bit more of a basketball match, but I was otherwise relaxed. Not saying I wanted Arsenal to lose or anything, and I was still fairly confident of a victory overall, but it was just nice just to not have that real on edge feeling to it, that just every kick, every missed shot, it feels so visceral to me. And it was just really, even talking about it now, I'm much more calmer, much more casual, cavalier nature to discuss in the match, because there wasn't as much at stake. So next up, we've got Chelsea in the League Cup, and then next weekend it's away to Forest, and that's just already, just even mentioning that, I know, like, just all of a sudden that pressure, it's going to dial right up, because we definitely want to win that. I mean, Forest are there for the taking, and we've been on a tremendous run, of course, in the Premier League, but we want to maximize points now. We want to just create as much of a buffer and a gap on the others as possible, and let them chase us. Like, let's continue to set the pace. So speaking of that Chelsea match, I imagine selection is largely informed by what we did here. I think Arteta is going to go full strength for that one. And look, as you should, whenever you reach a semi-final of any competition, I mean, just listen to the way the players talk about it. Listen to the way they celebrated when we got over Crystal Palace a few weeks ago. Listen to the way Arteta talks about these matches. You want to lift a trophy. I think they want a big day out. They want to make a cup final at Wembley and have that experience. I mean, there's a thirst from Arsenal for trophies. And the next trophy on offer that's available is the League Cup, the EFL Cup. So I think we're going to go absolute full steam ahead for it. I'd imagine it's about as full strength as you could possibly get. You know, Saka will be back for that. Zubimendi, Rice, Saliba, Timber, Maya, as many first team regulars as possible. We could probably name the 11. I mean, what do we do at centre forward? There's a decision to be made there. Should it be Gyökeres or perhaps Jesus? You know, I wouldn't mind seeing. So look, there's a couple of selection options to be made, but naturally speaking, I just think the rest of the 11 is going to take care of itself. And you know, Chelsea, there's something about them as well that they always want to peg down Arsenal. Look at their league, look at their form since that that draw against them a month or so ago. I mean, they've really fallen off a cliff, you know, since then. And you know, comparative to us, we've continued, you know, quite strongly. There was an opportunity actually at the time, if they won that match, to close the gap to 3 points. I mean, I don't know what the gap is right now, but it's probably what, 12 or 13, something like that. So I think Chelsea are going to try and peg us down. They're going to come out hard. It's at Stamford Bridge. They're going to be baying for blood again. no matter how much chopping and changing there is at that club, right, I can just predict a pretty hostile atmosphere and the players are going to try and kick us off the park as they usually do. Yeah, so in a way, I'm just hoping that we can get the job done against them, of course. I'd love to put them back in their box again, but just to have no major injuries. I don't want anyone coming out with an injury to that. Hopefully we can get the job done whilst coming out unscathed. And before I sign off, I can't believe I have forgot to mention this, but what a moment for Marley Salmon, 16 years old, and he just looks so young and youthful. I mean, it's just such a lovely moment for him to come on and get took about 13, 14 minutes at the end there in the second half. Came on for Gabriel, but played it right back. Timber slotted into centre half. Just an enormous moment for him. I know he's featured in preseason and whatnot, but just these sort of moments, like what it means to players, to their families, for their parents, their loved ones. I mean, just incredible, right? Just the amount of sacrifice and effort that's gone in. Like he's another Hayland boy. Like what a monumental reflection on the club as well. All the youth team coaches, everyone who supported him all along the way. Like it's a collective effort. As they often say, it takes a village. So just a fantastic moment for the club and for him personally. It was really special to me watching it. And I, you know, from everything that's said about him, like there's a hell of a player in there to watch in the next few months. And it's just brilliant to see. So on that note, I'm going to bring this one to a close. Thank you so much as always for watching and tuning in. Please like and subscribe if you're watching on YouTube. If you're listening on audio, Apple Podcasts or Spotify, please follow my show. Please leave me a 5-star review. That will be greatly appreciated to boost visibility and engagement. Please send me your feedback, send me your comments, what you agree or don't agree with. I read every single word and I'll be back on soon after the final whistle, after the first leg against Chelsea with another post-match instant reaction podcast. So until then, look after yourselves, check in with your loved ones and come on Arsenal.